Old Crow Medicine Show has been a KDNK favorite since their debut CD, which featured the popular song Wagon Wheel that came from an incomplete Bob Dylan song, completed by Old Crow. The band is rooted in American roots music and is noted for high-energy live shows. Since that initial release, Old Crow has won 2 Grammys, played around the world, and been inducted to the Grand Ole Opry. Live music fans will remember their explosive performance at the Wheeler Opera House in 2004, supporting Gilling Welch and Dave Rollins, which was the night they became one of my favorite live bands. The band has produced a string of excellent CDs, including 2014's Remedy, one of the most played CDs on KDNK that year. And less than 2 weeks ago, the band released 50 Years of Blonde on Blonde, Old Crow's live version of the Dylan classic. It's receiving heavy airplay here from our DJs. Old Crow will perform Blonde on Blonde and at a couple of dozen different stages around the U.S. this spring. And we're lucky enough to have one of those shows right here Saturday night at the Belly Up. Founding member and slide guitarist, banjo player and guitar player, Critter Fuqua is on the phone. And it's going to talk to us about that new CD. Thanks for talking to us, Critter.
Yeah, thank you.
First off, how'd you become a critter?
I root around in the trash a lot. I have a nocturnal sort of lifestyle. Kind of wandering around and getting in people's trash, you know, like critters do.
Yeah. I understand you meant bandmate, Mr. Secor. You guys were just little kids when you started playing music together. About how old were you?
Yeah, we were in 7th grade, so 12, 13, 13-ish maybe.
And were you classmates and just hanging out on the playground and started talking about music, or how'd that happen?
We were classmates. We had the same classes in 7th grade, and I think we met in history class, and we did a short skit based on whoever wrote the Red Badge of Courage, Thomas Crane. Yeah, so we did that short kind of skit, like a Civil War kind of skit in history class, and that's kind of how we met.
And you've mostly been together ever since. You had a short break from the band, but you guys have been playing music together for, what's that, about 30 years now?
Almost. Yeah, 25 at least.
So when you guys started making music, a lot of the bands that I like live have a hard time in the studio capturing their sound on CDs, but you guys have been really hitting it out of the park since your first CD. Any insights on how you've been so fortunate in the studio to consistently crank out albums that really work together and have a great sound?
Well, I think if you're a great live band, all you got to do is play live in the studio. So I think we did that. We did a lot of live, mostly live tracking. Remedy was a real piece together album. That was a big departure from the way we've done it, which was a great experience. And Ted Hutt, who produced that album, is a brilliant, brilliant producer. And yeah, so that was a departure, and we really learned a lot from that. But I think, you know, and most of our stuff we did live. So, of course, we did some stuff live with Ted Hutt for that one. But our most recent all-original album, which might be out in the fall, maybe next year, I'm not sure, with David Cobb, yeah.
The next release in the queue, you've had a best of this year, and you've had the live Blonde on Blonde. And you've got another one you've already got in the hopper?
Yeah, we got, Best Of came out. We got Blonde on Blonde out, and we got one in the hopper. That's correct.
I mentioned the show that you did with Gilliam Welch and Dave Rawlings up in Aspen many years ago. What's your musical relationship like been with them?
We've known them for a long time. Dave Rawlings produced our first 2 albums. They're such an important part of us and our success, I think. You know, without Dave and Gillian's cheerleading and help and production value and friendship, you know, I don't think we would be the band that we are today. I think David Rawlings really saw something in us that he captured back when we were starting out. So
from the get-go, there's been some sort of a karmic link between Bob Dylan and Old Crow Medicine Show. You had that success right off the bat with Wagon Wheel, and then you had another song, Sweet Amarillo, on Remedy, and now a whole redo of Blonde on Blonde. What led to your relationship with Dylan's music?
Ketch and I really were huge, just kind of obsessed with Bob Dylan. Back, especially when we were in high school, and we just listened to everything he did. I'm not sure quite what it was. I think it's the biggest musical influence, probably, for us.
And a lot of other people.
Yeah, not just us.
Before you went to do this work, what, if any, relationship did you have to Blonde on Blonde?
Before we did the live version?
Yeah. Was that a favorite album, or was it just what brought you to the Blonde on Blonde material?
The Country Music Hall of Fame last year came to us with an idea that we could play. They wanted us to see if we could play the whole album live for two nights at the Country Music Hall of Fame in honor of the 50th anniversary of Blonde on Blonde being recorded in Nashville. And so we said, yeah, and we tackled it, and it was a good time.
So from the initiation of that project, you intended to record it live for a CD?
No, it was just going to be two nights of playing live, and we didn't know we would like it so much, and everybody else would like it so much. And our manager, Norm Parento, immediately after the shows was like, this is good enough. This is something special. We should do something with it. We all agreed. So it was a pretty quick decision to put it out, and we got Ted Hutt to edit it and do his magic on it, and we got a video, and it was just something that really, there was a lot of magic in it.
Some of the songs really kind of explode out of the speakers when I'm listening to the CD, particularly songs like Most Likely You'll Go Your Way and I'll Go Mine, Rainy Day Women, and Stuck Inside a Mobile. What were you picking up in those songs that made you want to drive those so hard?
What were we picking up?
Yeah, what was it about those songs that you wanted to make those such high-energy songs?
I think, naturally we're a high-energy band. Myself and Ketch included, and I think most of us have some sort of roots in rock and roll and, punk rock. And me, I definitely have some, a lot of heavy metal influence and stuff. But that being said, we're such a high-energy band, and listening to Dylan's album, only Dylan can really do it like Dylan did on that album. So, and those songs just lend themselves to, I mean, it's a rock and roll album, and we can be a rock and roll band, and I think just putting that energy into it was only natural for us, because we had to make it our own. We couldn't do it verbatim like Bob. Only Bob can do that, so...
What was the reaction from the audience when you were performing those two nights live?
Well, they loved it. I immediately felt a connection with the audience.
Most of the songs on Blonde on Blonde I was able to get my arms around over the years, but there's really one, Sad-Eyed Lady of the Lowlands, it was an entire side of the original double album.
Yeah, the fourth side.
I've never been able to get my head around that one. Did you ever have any luck figuring out what was going on in that song?
It's not really about figuring out that song. I think it's about letting those images flow over you. I don't know that there's a figuring out. So I think to figure out that there's no figuring out figures it out.
Thanks for relieving me of that burden.
Yeah, no one knows what that song's about.
Yeah, including
Bob
Dylan.
Bob Dylan doesn't know what that song's about.
Yeah. Have you ever had any feedback from Dylan about either this project or your previous projects with his work?
Well, we usually hear from him through his manager, through our manager. I know he's given this project, his camp's definitely given it their blessing, and I know that Bob has let us use his social media platforms and given us permission to use a caricature of him on our cover of our album, and so he's been real supportive. I don't know, of course none of us have talked to him personally ever, but through the channels of the cosmos, we get a feeling that he's digging it.
So what's it like, an artist with such a great catalog and a lot of original music, to go out on stage and perform somebody else's music from top to bottom like that?
I'm really enjoying it. I mean, it's us on the road, but it's a little break from us. You know, we're Old Crow, but we're also doing Blonde on Blonde, so it's really fun to play someone else's material, and not just a cover song, but a whole album all the way through.
And when you do it, you're doing it just like you did on the CD, from top to bottom?
We're doing it all the way through. We don't do a reprise of Rainy Day Woman, but we do a couple bop songs for the encore, and do Wagon Wheel. So yeah, we just do it top to bottom, just like the record.
You mentioned that you've got some new stuff recorded and that it's going to come out either later this year or early next year. What's the next direction for your Old Crow music?
Beats me. We just kind of follow the signs, you know. There's no conscious sort of decision that we're going to do a certain sound. It depends on the batch of original material we have at the time, you know.
When folks come to see you, you mentioned that the night is going to be mostly all Dylan material. Even in the encores, you're going to stick to Dylan material and your take on Wagon Wheel?
Yeah, it's all Dylan. Yeah, that's the cool thing about this show.
Well, thanks for speaking with KD&K listeners. Your band has friends right here at our little radio station. We love your music. And don't forget, folks, Old Crow will appear live Saturday night at the Belly Up in Aspen. Tickets are sold out, so you'll have to scrounge around for a ticket for that very special night. Thanks for talking to us, Critter.
Hey, thank you.